You are now tuned in from the Desk of Low, brought to you by from the That Feeling Podcast Network. If you have a dream, go get it. Welcome back from the Desk of Low. Like I said, for season 3, we're going to do things a little bit different here right now. Shout out to BA, because if it wasn't for BA, this never would have happened. So for this episode, I have somebody who's special to music. These guys started a sound that's still being used in hip-hop today. And I want to give these guys their own unique interview, because these guys got a very unique story that the world needs to hear. Because shout out to Corey. She gave his story and how everything from the zombies and Zombie University came together. So for this episode, I got member Jimmy Blanco. He used to be known as Sparks, but now he goes by Jimmy Blanco. What's good, sir?
How are you?
Man, you know, man, I'm just in the studio cooking up, man. You know, I got to stay on my craft.
Okay.
So let's kick it off, Blanco. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Buffalo, New York, on the east side of Buffalo. I actually moved to Riverside when I was like 15, 16 years old.
So
I'm actually born and raised in Buffalo, New York, though.
Okay, so you're very hometown when it comes to that. So when you moved to Riverside, when would you say you found your passion for music? Like, what age would you say that started?
I actually found my passion in music. I was 12, going on 13. My mom, she had bought me the Reasonable Doubt CD. Jay, for people that don't know who that is, that's Jay-Z's first, like, was his first official album. That album right there actually put me out and made me love hip-hop. I first heard that CD, it was 22 Tunes. I heard that song and I was like, oh my God, like, I just want to do what he doing. I want to rap. I want to be like that, you know what I'm saying? So, like, Reasonable Doubt actually introduced me to hip-hop most of this.
So that was around 96, you would say?
Yeah.
Oh,
like 96, 97.
So, was your stage name always Sparks first, or was it something else in the beginning?
I don't know, like, so many names, though. It's, like, it's crazy. I started off as, like, little Sparks, then I put Young Sparks. I got Sparks Pacino, Jimmy Blanco. It's like, my name just, I got a whole bunch of rap names. But for right now, I'm going by Jimmy Blanco. But I started off, like, when I was working with the Zombies, I started off as Sparks, Young Sparks.
So, who would you say was the first member? Because I don't know, because is Corey your actually blood brother? Sorry?
Huh?
Is Corey your actual blood brother? Brother?
Oh, no, I met Corey. I was like 14, 15, I met Corey.
So
I still love him to this day. So, it's like, blood can't make it no better. So, you know what I'm saying? That's my brother, no matter what. You know what I'm saying?
Right, that's fam right there. So let's get into that story on how you met Corey, if you can remember that day.
I actually met Corey. I moved to Riverside when I first moved to Shape Reserve Project. I remember like it was yesterday. My friend Jerry, his name Doug, he was like our little DJ or whatever when we first started. But he actually introduced me to Corey. They was all at this little center we had in our projects. You know, he was like, yeah, my man, he do beats and he rap and da da da. I'm like, shit, well, introduce me to him. So I actually went down to the center that they was at. And they was already down there, like, listening to beats and rapping and stuff. Corey had to be like a good 12, 13. He was a little short guy, just down there rapping, going crazy. I'm like, I like this dude. So then Corey, we actually, his uncle walked up and was like, well, my nephew, he's rapping, da da da. He's like, y'all should battle him. Now, Corey, like, to me, it wasn't like no battle. It was just like him showing me his skills and me showing him my skills, you know what I'm saying? So we actually was like just going back and forth. And like, ever since that day, Corey was like, yeah, he dope. And I told him, like, you dope yourself. So we just stuck together and it just started from there. Like, I used to go to his house and we'd be on the laptop and just recording music all day from sunup to sundown. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, I connected instantly when I met Corey. It was like, I've been waiting to meet this guy type shit.
It was like some unwritten prophecy, some type of shit, eh?
Yeah, like it was meant for me to meet this guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because like I said, I've been ever since I have to shout out BA because if it wasn't for BA liking my post when I was looking for artists to interview, man, I would have never have actually got the backstory of you guys because you guys fucking started a legendary. I still trip out about this today that you guys started. I swear I was just listening to some song and he had that scream in it and I was like, yo.
That's that zombie sound. That's that zombie sound. That's how you know when it's us. If you hear that scream, that we originated that scream. So you hear any scream on any sound, that's that zombie sound. You know what I'm saying?
So let's get
We
into. Oh yeah, don't worry about that. We're getting to all that right there. I'm just more curious too on how'd you met BA too during that time.
I met BA in high school. We all used to go away. Me, I'm not gonna lie to you. I was one of them guys that was dipping out of high school and always into the streets. But I used to go to first period and shit like that. So it was Corey was actually rapping with BA first. And then when I was going to high school, because we all went to the same high school, we went to Riverside High School. So I met BA going through high school and hearing him rap and cyphers and shit like that. And then it just like the same thing with Corey. When I met BA, we clicked instantly. I was like, yeah, this dude, he's dope. He's from Syracuse. He got a different sound. We need to stick with him, you know what I'm saying? So it was just we all clicked instantly when we first met each other.
So
You know, I was young as hell.
would you would you getting into the production too, like how they were? Were you getting into the production, like the producing, how like they were?
Oh, no. I never, me with the beats, I don't got the patience for that.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you on that.
I do the rap thing. I let the beats stay with the zombies, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got the patience for the beats thing.
Yeah, because I noticed, when I'd be listening to the projects, the Left 4 Dead and Condemned tapes, I noticed, it didn't say any beats by Sparks. I noticed you were featured on a lot. So I'm like, okay, he must be the rapper, too. And then,
Oh, yeah.
And
I just play the rap role.
And then, too,
The rap.
also, when you guys were recording, can you remember the first zombie mixtape that you guys all ever recorded?
The first actual zombie mixtape we recorded was called Sex, Violence, and Paper. Because our project is Shaker Village Project, so SVP. So we figured, we can't make my first mixtape, Shaker Village Project, that sound corny. Because before we were the zombies, we were Sick Vocal Productions. So we used to use that SVP thing as our little label and our little run to. So our first mixtape, official mixtape, was Sex, Violence, and Paper. That's our first official mixtape we ever put out. And we put that out under a group called SVP. We was called SVP.
Oh, and then before, you guys actually made it official to the zombies.
Yeah, before we was the zombies, we was Sick Vocal Productions, SVP.
So I.
We took our project name and turned it into a label.
So I noticed too, when I was looking up to all the YouTube things that you guys have been doing for the past, the earliest video was 9 years ago. How did you feel about the camera always documenting what you guys were doing? Did you guys know one day you guys would make that sound, or did you guys just know you guys were gonna do something in this life that was gonna be legendary?
No, it was it's just the sound. It just been there for years. It's Corey. Corey is no lie. Corey is just the creator of everything. That man, his sound is crazy. I used to go to Corey's house and watch him make beats and be like, you sound something different. I don't know how you're not in the industry enough. It's just his sound, it makes you wanna. It's weird. The way he got the zombies. You know how you get bitten and the virus spread. It's
Yeah.
like Corey beat. If you a production, if you make beats and you hear Corey beats, and then he's gonna bite you basically. You gonna spray him, but I gotta do it just like how he doing it. His sound is just it's unique. It's nobody has his sound to me. And it's when he found all the other producers that's with the zombies. They sound was similar to his. That's why it fits so perfectly. It's crazy. It's hard to break down. I think he was born with that sound. You know what I'm saying?
So,
I don't know no other producers with that sound.
So who would
All
you?
That.
Oh no, keep going.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I heard Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the whole sound with the beats and everything like that come from Gordon. He started that shit.
So who would you say you were most close with during the Zombies besides Corey?
I'm close to actually all of them except for A-Rab. I'm close as hell to B.A. Like, B.A., that's my brother. I'm close to Prophet. I talk to Prophet every other day. Ford, Gray, Us Music, and my brothers. The main one I'm not really close to like that is A-Rab Music. That's Tracks, friend. That's Tracks, peoples. And then, as far as everybody else, like, we real close. We all family.
And I noticed that too. Like, even after, like, how everyone's doing their own thing, y'all keep it like very in the circle and support one another too. Because I won't lie, the track with you featuring P90 and Prophet. Oh, that's my shit right there off the Condemned mixtape.
Appreciate that.
I just gotta keep it real, man. That's what I do on this show too. But like, let's get into like how your story came about, because like, you know, we talk about the Zombies and everything, but like, I want to get into the Spark story. So like, Closed Dreams, was that your first official release?
Yeah, that was my first official. I was putting out like little projects, just rapping and just trying to find my sound, but Cold Dreams is actually my official project. I got the title Cold Dreams from YH. He a producer of the Zombies too. He had a beat called Cold Dreams, and when I seen that title, I was like, that title is just crazy. So I had ran away. I was like, I'm gonna name my first project Cold Dreams, because I just feel like that title, the title is crazy. The title to me means like, I'm chasing my dreams, but it's hard to get them out the right way I want to. So it feels like my dreams is closed. So I'm going to just keep doing what I got to do to let people see what the hell I got and let people hear me out. So when I dropped that project, it was like, I was just in full battle at that time. I was like, I want to do this. I want to take this music shit serious. I had better in-house studio mic. Actually, my baby mother, she bought me in-house studio mic. And from after that night, when she brought me that night, I swear I was up all night every morning just recording. I wouldn't stop recording. It was like, I was moving on family time and everything. I was just recording. So, like, some of Cold Dreams is like songs that was throwaway songs. Songs that I was playing with. Like, I'm never going to put these songs up. But then when I sat down, I was listening to them, like, these songs is material. Like, I could use these, and I think people would really like these songs. So I put all that together. That's why I made it the prequel, because it wasn't really supposed to be an official project. It was supposed to be a project that came out before that. So I made Cold Dreams a project just to amp people up, to get them ready for the project that I was about to put out before that project.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I actually rolled up, bumped your projects, and some of my favorites off that project was, and I don't like when people rap over Hov beats, but like, yo, if they kill it, you know, I got to give it up to them. So I like the Pound Cake Freestyle. I like the Picasso Baby, Flatline, No Sleep. But my most favorite track off that project is the next one. That beat's insane on that.
Yeah, that one to the next one beat, that's crazy how that beat, I got that beat, because that was supposed to be, Corey was supposed to go up that beat, but like, I guess, you know, he wasn't liking the way it sounds, so I gotta do something to this beat. It was just like, I'm a big Jay-Z head, like, I'm Jay-Z probably biggest fan, like,
you and me both, G.
I call Jay-Z my uncle, like, that's uncle.
Yeah, that's uncle right there.
When I heard that song, I was like, I gotta touch this. And then, you know what I'm saying? So it was just like, I'm going here, I'm gonna snap, I'm gonna let people know what I really got. I was trying to battle the beat, actually. If you hear how I'm rapping, I was trying to actually battle with the beat and keep up with the beat on that song. That song is like one of my challenges songs. That song challenge.
I was going to say, too, because when you said you go full throttle, I was just going to say, I was like, yeah, that's pretty much the words I was going to say with that project, because, like, from the start to the end, it's full. No break on the pedal there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Oh, that's a project, like, I wasn't even taking that project serious. I was like, I'm just going to put this out here and see what the people say. But I got so much feedback and love off of that project. I was like, okay, I see where this is going now. This is just preparing me for the next one. And then I started moving on and going to the next project.
And then, too, with your next project, too, because we'll get into that, your next project is Seeing is Believing, right?
Yeah.
So, too, I noticed that this one's, a lot more personal, too, because, that Seeing is Believing, there's a lot of heartfelt tracks on there, too, that, you know, you can feel from the soul. And what was your approach with that project?
I got Seeing is Believing actually sitting in the house with my mother. My mother, she has I go to her for anything with my music. Because my mother, she gonna keep it 100 with me. She gonna tell me if it's trash. She gonna tell me if I need to go back in the studio and record it again. So, whatever my music, I take it straight to my mother. Seeing and Believing came about. My mom actually gave me the title for that and everything. I was sitting in her room, and we was just talking and vibing. I'm like, Mom, I want to give people, a story. She just tell them what you've been through. She's like, people seem to believe it sometimes, baby. I said, that's crazy that you said that. And then when she said that, I was like, I got to use that title. And I sent my little brother, he actually did the cover. He said, I'm going to do the cover for you. I had a picture, and I was sitting in the car. I had my face to the side. And he, cropped out half of my face and put it, in the... you see that cover, right?
Yeah.
And he took it to make it see, to make it fit the actual title. So when I started that project, I really locked in. The intro song, that's my daughter talking, my oldest daughter. I used that. I was just like, I want to make this project feel like introducing people into my life. I'm bringing out to my life. Half of them songs in there is actual facts. A lot of stuff I've been through, a lot of stuff I've seen. It's just it's real life stories on there.
Would you say would you say that would be your most personal project ever? Or, do you plan on doing that more?
Yeah. I was listening to that project at work yesterday. I was like, I didn't even know, I was telling these stories like this. On the title song, she didn't believe it when I said, what did I say? I said, my baby mother hits my daughter every day because when she sees my face. That's actual facts. My baby mother used to hit my brother because she'd see her and be like, well, you just like your father. I can't stand your father. So I was like, with this project, I'm going to just tell my story and let people know what's going on. And introduce y'all to Blanco's world. People heard Sparks and did it out, but I'm going to let y'all know what's going on with this Blanco kid and let y'all get into my personal life. You know what I'm saying?
So with that, too, also, with those... with the track listing and everything, because it's how you said you were listening to that project yesterday. When you go back and listen to that, do you damn, I'm still that nice? Or do you keep saying, yo, I'm better than now?
Yeah, it's I said, I listened to it at work yesterday. I'm like, damn, I don't even know this project sound like this. But when I heard it, I was this shit sound crazy. This don't even sound like me, you know what I'm saying? But when I listen to my older projects, it just... I listen to them and be like, okay, I see what I gotta do for the next one now. So it just prepares me to gear up for my next project and just keep going from there. When I was done with LCN and Believing, I had teamed up with one of my label mates on my record label, Center Lane Music, his name, One World Boogie. We dropped a mixtape called Usual Suspects. So it was right after I went back, I dropped Seeing and Believing, I went back, I listened to it, I said, okay, now it's time to stop listening to this and go to the next one. That's how I got into Usual Suspects. It was I just listened to my project and it helped me. Okay, you said this on this one, now you tell this different story. Tell this story on this project. I go back, listen to them, get help, and go from there. You know what I'm saying?
And then, too, there's some guy on YouTube named Sun Tinzu. I can't say his name, but this guy's got a good following. He posted one of your songs up there. I just got to look up to see what it is, though. But this guy has, I think, 20,000 following. And the cover that looks like Kill Bill, I think it's with you and Corey. He threw that up there. I don't know if you saw it.
Oh, you're talking about Sansu?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Sansu. He real heavy on the upstate average. He posts all of our stuff on it. But GSM, he posted our song, Zico's. Yeah, Corey's song, Zico's.
So when would you say, because like I noticed that like after, let's say, Seen as Believing, do you have any other projects after that?
Actually, the project I told you about on my label artist, Greenwood Boogie, is called Usual Suspects. I dropped that project, and I got a project with another artist. He's like my brother. His name Raphael. It's called Radar Music. I dropped a couple compilation projects for my label, Centerlane Music label. I dropped three compilation projects with just me and my artist on there. And it's just like, I just keep going. Like, I don't want to give up with the music. It's like, I was born for this shit.
Yeah, because you can definitely tell. And then too, with Centerlane Music, like how is all that? Because that's your label, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
So, what made you want to start your own label?
It was just like, when I was seeing how the zombies and everything, I was like, we need to expand and just keep going. Like how we all actually got our own independent labels. Cody has his hobbies, DA has Everybody Eats, EBE. I got Centerlane Music. Prophet has the Slum God Entertainment or something like that. But like we all have our own like individuals. It was just like, okay, we the zombies, but we want to start something different and expand and get our own artists and let people hear them too. And just bring them and branch them to the family, like make a big ass label out of Wu-Tang did it basically. Nah, Wu-Tang was Wu-Tang, but Raekwon had Ghostface had Theater Gang and Raekwon had his little squad and they started the Grave Diggers or whatever their name was. It was just like we wanna, you know what I'm saying? Expand, reach out, get these people, let people hear them too.
Would you guys ever all, would you, well, in your eyes, because like, you know, everyone has their own lives, would you think that you guys ever all come back together for a collaborative project? Because like, you got in the day and age of streaming, you guys can actually do something with that.
Yeah, I believe, yeah. Me and Corey, we talk about that every day. Like, I be with Corey every day. Out of everybody out the group, I be with him every single day. I go to work, I go to Corey's house after I leave work. And me and him be talking about that all the time. Like, we should come back, make an album. Because we never made an album. Like, we always made mixtapes. I was like, we have to make an album, but it's like at least 14 songs with the whole group on there. I think the people will love that. And there's been people out there that dug and said that, like, y'all need to come back, make an album or another mixtape that they use. It's just like, we all got our own little things be going on. It's like, it's crazy. We all bounce around. We just be bouncing, you know what I'm saying?
So, too, because
we have to sit down and get up and going.
Well, what made me realize that you guys had something too, with everyone, you know, still doing their own thing and then coming together with that track Uno, I was like, yo, okay, this shit, if they were to make that the lead single for that project, if they were all to come back together, that shit would have been numbers.
Yeah, Uno's crazy. Uno's crazy. Uno came apart because it was like, I don't know, but like every group had their difficulties. Every group, they fight, they argue. Some groups break up, some groups don't come back. But we came with Uno, the song Uno, because rest in peace, my brother, his name Roger, but his nickname was Uno. And he used to always tell us, like, y'all need to stop beefing and just start doing this music, y'all can get out of here. So we all just sat down, like, we need to do this for Roger. We need to do this for Uno. That's why on the album cover, that's my brother who passed away on the album cover. So it was like, we all sat down. We got half of the zombies because it's way more than that. We missing YH12 and Us Music, but we got the headline up so far. But we could have got more than that, but we just did it so far because them was the main people around at the time. So we just recorded it, knocked it out, and just put it out.
Also, too, because you're an artist, too, and you probably recognize other artists, too. Like, do you push Corey to be a rapper more? Because, man, like, Corey got some shit there. But he, in the interview that I did with him, he's like, yo, I don't, like, I'm just a rapper so people can hear my beats. And I was like, yo, man, you really got to be a rapper because some of the shit you be spitting.
Yeah, Corey, 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 Corey Corey crazy, man. I tell Corey all the time, like, don't give up, man. Corey has a gift. That dude is crazy with the rap, man. You know what I'm saying? I hear Corey rap and be like, damn, I gotta get kept, man. Like, he makes me want to go rap. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy because, like, he's my youngest brother. He's my little brother. But he, when I hear him, I be like, yeah. And it's weird because, like, even when he's a court, he guys and he tell you how to do it. Like, you know, you shouldn't do it like this, you make it sound like this. Like, he just wants us to be better, you know what I'm saying? He wants us to be good, like this. And it's crazy because, like, he's not a little brother, but he's that guy that wants to be good. He probably hates it.
I was just going to say, so we can't hear you.
Hello?
Okay, that's way better now. Yeah, we just cut out for like 2 seconds. That's all.
Oh, yeah, my bad. But yeah, I was saying, like, you hear me?
No, I still can't hear you, so you went quiet again.
Hello?
You're still kind of quiet.
Oh, shit, I think stupid.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Hello? There we go, that's way better.
Okay, you hear me now?
Okay, and then two, how old is that track, Zico's?
The song Zico's?
Yeah.
Well, that's the first song. We did that song, I want to say, the middle of October, something like that.
Oh, so that's fresh.
Yeah, that song fresh. Me and Corey was sitting on the lawn, just doing what we do, and when he played that beat, he got a beat. I'm like, let me hear it. He was like, it ain't the fun.
So is that from? So would you say that's like a lead single from your upcoming project?
Zico's is not even planned to be on a project. Zico's came apart just us sitting in the room, like we ain't recording nothing in so long. It's been a song.
Yeah, just like organically.
Yeah, like let's just put a song out real quick. She was like, "Shit, let's do it." We both recorded our verses and we just put it out. I said, shit, just put it out. We sat down, came up with the cover idea, Corey made the cover, and we just put it out the next day.
So also,
after he mixed it down.
So also too, I noticed it's only on SoundCloud. I was wondering, how come you guys don't release it to streaming sites?
That's a big thing too. I'd be telling myself, but I don't know why I would do that either. It's just like, We all gotta set it up. Like, BA, he got his streaming sites and everything available, but like, me and Corey and them, we gotta get our thing set up for the streaming thing.
Yeah, because like I'll be downloading everything you guys be putting out on Dadperf though, but like, you know, like I would like to buy some of y'all music too. But like, I told Corey too that I want to work on something with y'all too. But we'll speak on that after too, because I want you a part of that too. So with your influences, who's your influences besides Hove?
Besides Hove?
Yeah.
I'm like a Biggie head, a Big Pun, Jadakiss, Nas, Tribe Called Quest, Mobb Deep. I'm really into hip hop. I love music. It's like I love music. Love days. I can keep going for days. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's good, yo, because that just shows the strive in it.
Yeah, I love music. But my favorite type of music is like storytelling music. Like Slick Rick used to tell his stories. I love type of music. I love music when I hear it, I can see it. You know what I'm saying? It's so like I'm there. I know what you're talking about. I'm bringing in there. I can actually see exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's the type of music I love.
So you can see it through your music too, right? Because like, you can definitely tell when you be spitting stories, it's like, okay, well, obviously you've been listening to Nas, Slick Rick, Hov, Jada, all of them.
Yeah,
So,
you know what I'm saying? And that's why I was just telling Corey that a couple of days ago, like, I just love everything, bro. He like, there's a lot of music I haven't even heard. I'm like, yeah, I just grew up on EP. Like, mad crazy shit. I just love music.
And also,
I don't think I could live without music.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure we will all be dead without music.
Yeah, for real.
And then also, too, I'm wondering, were you big on video games, too?
Yeah. For me, like, Corey, he's a big video game guy. He's real big on video games. Me, I'm more like the movie person.
Oh.
I'm real big on movies. Like, I love movies.
So what's your favorite genre, would you say? Because now that you say that, with the Kill Bill, would you like stuff like Kill Bill and something like that?
Yeah, I love Kill Bill. My favorite type of genre movie is like drama and action and the monster movies and shit like that. Like, I could watch Scarface all day. I could watch The Godfather all day. Goodfellas all day. I love like them type movies.
Would you say you ever would sample them in your music?
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. That's how we do Usual Suspects. Like, me and my other dude, Lil Boogie, we took samples from the Sonny Carson movie. I forgot what it's called. It's like the Miseducation of Sonny Carson or something like that.
Oh, I've never seen that before.
We took samples from that movie.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
You can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. No worries.
Oh, okay.
So you were saying you took samples from that movie?
Yeah, Miseducation of Sonny Carson, and we took samples from The Usual Suspects movie.
With your label, Center Lane Music, who's a few artists that you got signed to it? Let's shed some light on them for a bit.
I got Google Boogie over there. I got my little cousin Jalen. My brother E Brooks. That's really mainly it right now. I'm still searching for people, but them like the main top ones right now.
And
me, that's, you know what I'm saying? My brother Raziel, he affiliated with it.
Also too, what do you hope to accomplish with that label?
Just accomplish success and just keep going, you know what I'm saying? I tell them, it's weird because it's like, nobody's bosses at my label. We all do what we want to do. I tell them, y'all don't got to send me no music. Y'all want to put something out, just put it out. Y'all don't got to come to me, I'm not Puff Daddy, you know, like that.
Yeah.
We our own bosses, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, they push me. They make me want to go hard. They call me, tell me to get in the studio. Or we got to put this out. Or we got to do this, do that. And it'd be like, it's my label, but they the ones pushing me to tell me to do this shit.
But you need people like that around you, though, to motivate you.
And that's why I love them, you know what I'm saying? That's why I love them the best. I mean, like, I wouldn't want no other people to work with, you know what I'm saying? And the same with Corey, you know. We all push each other. We all just tell each other, keep going. Don't give up. We all got that gift. We all got that dream.
And, like, I want you, like, y'all to know, because y'all been doing your thing for a minute, though, and I just want you to know, there's people like me out there who go back and find old mixtape artists that, you know, who first got their start because they don't like this new sound and shit. So if you guys ever feel like, ain't nobody checking for you or shit like that, there's people checking for you. Just because you can't see it, you just never know who's watching, who's willing to give you an opportunity, but they checking you out.
That's like
no
emotion. I cannot fly. I can't stop now. That's coming still going up.
And it's all about, so I believe too, that you can speak things into existence. I'm just wondering, who do you hope to work with in the future?
Me personally, I want to work with so many people. It's like, it's crazy, it's going on and on and on. I want to work with Fabulous, I want to work with Jordy Kiss. I want to do a song with Ella May. Meek Mills is one of my favorite rappers right now, besides Jay-Z. I want to do something with him. I want to do something with the girl, her. It's just like a lot of these people that's coming out, they kind of do, but it's a lot of them that I don't really listen to. It's like, I was having this conversation with my brother, and I was like, I don't even know why y'all listening to this. I can't listen to this.
And all, yeah, yo, I feel you on that. Like, have to, like, yo, for real, like, yo, Lil Uzi is a bad version of Lil Wayne.
And I can't listen to that. But, and I'm not even gonna lie, because there's some songs that have you, like, damn. It'll catch you and you be like, I want to dance or something. Or you will hear it so much, you just get stuck in your head. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, I got to get away from this song for a minute. I keep hearing this song. I was just telling my girl that, like, I keep hearing this Jacquees song over and over and over and over. It's starting to get stuck in my head. To the point I've been leaving my house harmonizing the song.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't even listen to this dude. Like, it's crazy.
So also too, with music and everything, what do you hope to like do one day, like just to have like a plaque or something like that? Like do you want to do something like special that no one's ever done before, that like, let's say, like, you want to be an actor but not in like no gangster movie, you want to be an actor in like a romance film or something like that?
Yeah, that's definitely one of my other cars too. Like, I told my mother that a couple of days ago too. I was like, I don't think back in my own car. She said, baby, you so silly, like you could act. She like, you be walking around here acting like you're in movies and shit. So it's definitely like, I definitely wanna look into acting too. That's another one of my dreams that I don't wanna chase. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because, like, you can tell that you all have a story and then you all have talent even with the acting. And then I noticed, too, that this is what I always wanted to ask you, because you guys were on them 10 years ago. They just dropped a new album now. I don't I like some of their sounds, but, like, it's not, like, that Dipset sound that they added from 2010. Like, that sound was, like, that was the zombie sound they were rapping over.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy that people be back to me when I say, when I get my opinions on the new music and stuff. I said that a couple of days, like a few weeks ago. I said I don't like the Dipset album. And a lot of people knock me for that. Like, you're bugging. But it's just like, some people outgrow music, some people get worse with it, some people get better. Like, you can't. You know what I'm saying? It's up to you.
Yeah, but do they not know the history that you guys have and what you're a part of?
I believe so, but it's a lot of people that, it's a lot of shady people in the game, you know? It's a lot of people that take titles and want to give credit, you know what I'm saying?
And so, and then also too, like I said, when I didn't even know they had Twitter, they started following my old Twitter. I don't know if you got Twitter, so if you got Twitter, you can plug that in too. I'll start following you on that too.
Yeah.
I noticed that, yo, Corey got like Meek Mill. Were you guys affiliated with Meek too? Like, I seen on Corey's Twitter, like, he's got like people like Meek Mill following him. Like, were you all affiliated with him too?
Oh, no, it's like, Corey, he's been on the social media for so long. It's like, people hear his sound and they probably know his affiliation through A-Rod, or I don't know if A-Rod ever told people about Corey, but
have you,
Corey he's a networking genius. Like, well, he goes hard on that. And
who would you say was, like, a big name that acknowledged you? Because you guys had to be acknowledged.
French Montana done reached out. Freaky Zeke from Dipset. Of course, A-Rap Music. There's a few people who reached out and just paid homage. Well, I don't mean to say paid homage, but say y'all got that sound. I mean, when we went to the Hip Hop Awards out here in Buffalo, DJ Jamo was there, and he really actually took his time out to stop and take one of our mixtapes. And I guess he listened to it because he hit our manager up and was like, I want to put y'all on my Unsigned Hype mixtape. But we never got a chance to give him a song to put on the Unsigned Hype mixtape.
So how did, do you look back on what you were a part of, and does it still like say like wow, like I was a part of that legacy?
Yeah, I do that all the time. Like if I were by Dipset, once I hear that, I'll be like, oh shit! Like it'll hit me like damn, my boy was really doing something for Dipset. And it's not just that one song. Like, they did a few songs for Dipset. They did songs for Nipsey Hussle. They did songs for Charlie Cooks. They songs is all on YouTube. It's not here. You know what I'm saying? And when I hear that, I just look like, damn. Like, y'all boys really did songs for these people. And half of these people that they did songs for, they wasn't that big as they is now. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Recording and them did beats for Fish Montana and Sky High Entertainment, Fish Montana wasn't who he is now. But I like that they got the chance to give him something and let him go off of one of their beats before he got who he is. Because they could still go back and be like, look at the credits. We got shit for Fish Montana. Or your body went off our shit. Nipsey Hussle went off our shit. So I'm proud that they could actually say that.
And see, too, like, also, I want, because I'm early on a lot of things, too, and I noticed that when I people be, like, you know, showing A-Rab, you know, a lot of love, but, like, you know, it's like, you know, they gotta show the other people who was around A-Rab at that time, because, like Corey said, he brought in A-Rab, and, you know, like, in my opinion, I think Corey and you all should be, like, where A-Rab is. Like, everybody from the Zombie should be where A-Rab is.
I speak my mind. I feel what I want to say. I don't give a fuck how nobody feels. I'm not even going to lie to you. Cody James ain't that music and sound. Like, without that sound, A-Rab wouldn't be where he at today without Corey. A-Rab wasn't sounding like that. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have that sound. Cody James ain't that that sound. And I can vouch for that. I sat in Corey's room and watched him. You know what I'm saying? Talk to this man and send him stuff and send him beat kits and stuff like that. And personally talk to the man. Heard his voice on the phone.
And it's documented. So it's all on YouTube. It's documented.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying he gave that man his son. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, he deserves all the credit in the world for that.
And you know what I mean? That's what drew me to you guys, you know, because, like, man, like, I just want to help you. I just want to help y'all get your story out there because, like, yo, I don't know if you've seen the names I got on this podcast.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I said, he got legends on there.
Wait,
who? Mike Geronimo.
Yeah.
Buckshot. I'm like, yeah, he got legends on there.
Oh, don't worry. You're waiting to see my season.
I thought it was just that. I'm about to cut you off. My brother, I thought it was just that. He's a Buckshot legend. Like, he loved Buckshot. That's all he listened to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He did that boot camp quick shit. How did he tell? He's from New York, but he's from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So he Smith & Wesson, Buckshot. He listened to all that shit.
Oh, I got, Well, by the time this airs, y'all see, but, like, because this is going to air after, but I got, for the season 2 finale was the General Steel interview. You got that exclusive here, too.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So I'll send that to you, too, but like you said, because, like, I want, like you said, this is during Zombie Week, because I want to air your interview along with everybody else's to come back, because, like I said, y'all have a story that y'all need to break down individually.
Yeah, we've been saying that for years. Like, we got a story that we want these people to hear, you know what I'm saying? And we've been trying to put it through our music to get them to hear as much as possible. But it's like, we just need to branch out more and do more interviews and let people know what's going on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because like you said, like I noticed that I'm on a lot of people early. I noticed that I interviewed him, and then like 2 weeks later, somebody else be interviewing them. So I'm like, okay, so you know what? I'm gonna use this shit to help other people that deserve that shit. So, like, you guys deserve it. So I'm just wondering, what can people look forward to you, and what else like you like to plug in so people don't know about the Jimmy Blanco story?
People looking at me, I'm just working, man. I'm a workaholic. Like, I go to work, I come home, I open my phone, I start writing, I look for beats. I hit up Corey, tell him to give me beats. But it's like, I just want to keep working and just get more consistent with it. You know what I'm saying? After, I'm about to put out another project now. It's called Black Monopoly. It's a seven song project. And after that, I'm going to put out Seeing is Believing Part 2. After Seeing is Believing Part 2, I'm trying to focus on Cold Dreams Part 2. So with me, I just want to keep going. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to stop. And I feel good because I'm back in that zone to where I used to be.
And and then just to let you know, that was just only a part of your story. Your story ain't finished because, like I said, if you got people like Sun Tinzu looking, I still can't say that guy's name. If you still got that guy from YouTube throwing up you guys' shit, yo, you guys are far from finished. Far from finished.
Yeah, and that's what I'll be saying. Like, we just gotta keep going. You know what I'm saying? When we got people, we even know we're gonna get that much love. We thought people were gonna hold on it. Like, oh, this beat sound like deserved or something, but we put it out and we were like, shit, this shit crazy. It sounds beautiful.
And then also too, this might throw you off a little bit too, but this is the last question I ask all my guests too. You got any words for somebody in a dark place trying to see the light?
Nah, that's a good ass question.
Yeah, I ain't gonna find.
Nah, I wanna see everybody that do music do good. Like, I don't hate on nobody when it comes to the music. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I can't hate on somebody. I got too much. I'm too worried about me. Only person I can hate on is me. You know what I'm saying? If I don't like what I put out, I hate on myself. I'd be like, man, I start to do something different. That shit trash. You know what I'm saying? I talk to myself. So it's like, in my time, can't hate on somebody else, like, trying to do the same thing I'm doing. Trying to chase their dream or build their craft. You know what I'm saying? I salute everybody that's doing it. I want to see people do it. My town, this is a crazy town. Like, motherfuckers get killed out here every day. People get shot every day. This is like a mini Chicago to me.
Yeah, I feel you.
Buffalo, New York is crazy. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you get the fuck out of there, that shit crazy. You know what I'm saying? And I salute anybody that get out of here. When them boys did that Eminem shit, I said, oh my God, I love that shit. Them boys is the fuck out of here. I salute anybody that make it out of here. Because Buffalo is a piece of shit. You know what I'm saying? And then Corey said, Corey, I'm a money cry when he told me. I don't want to die out here, bro. I said, damn, that's real shit.
Yeah, that's real
that's
shit.
Real shit. Buffalo is just, it's hard to get the fuck out of Buffalo.
Well, it's like what I said, too.
You can get out of here.
I'm gonna put this on the record too. If you all ever need anything from me, yo, don't hesitate to ask, yo. Cause yo, I bump your shit on a daily basis. So the least I can do is help y'all out when you need it.
Yeah, I'm just saying you posted money. I'm like, don't be on it.
Yeah, no.
I appreciate that, man. And it's crazy because like you not, you know what I'm saying? You're not even in America, so for you to reach out and hear us, that shit is love. I've been talking about this shit all day. I've been telling everybody about this shit. Like, I got an interview with my man in Canada, you know what I'm saying? They like, oh, real? Like, in Canada? I'm like, yeah, in Canada and shit. They're like, oh, motherfuckers, I hear you in Canada, bro. Like, keep going, my nigga. Like, that. You know what I'm saying? And that shit just love, you know what I'm saying? Because, like I told you before, like, with me, I didn't think nobody was listening to me. I would just put out music and be like, only people gonna hear this shit, people in Buffalo. And my brother used to tell me, like, stop thinking like that. It's a world out here. He's like, if you got 107 downloads, you don't know if that's 107 people from Buffalo. That could be 100 motherfuckers in Africa. That could be 100 motherfuckers from Canada. That could be 100 motherfuckers in California. You don't know.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I keep going, because, like you said, I don't know. And it's crazy because you in Canada, and you heard my shit. So
Oh, don't worry. I'll be putting everyone onto that shit. I'll be like, yo, you gotta check the shit out. Check the shit out.
And that's crazy. I'll be like, yo, this shit crazy. I got the song on Corey Green's. It was a remix. It's Mac Rose. It was called the Hennessy song.
Oh yeah, I remember. That's a track 13, fire.
Yeah. I did like a freestyle off of that. And my DJ that hosted Corey Green's, shout out DJ Space City. He's in Houston, Texas. He put that song on his page. And I swear, the next day, that song had 100 downloads and 200 plays in 2 days. I said, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is.
People was really loving that song. And I said, but I see all that shit, and I be like, I gotta go harder now. I just gotta go harder. Well, with me, I just gotta put out more videos and stay consistent. That's my only problem.
Well, like I said, sir, 2019 about to be a good year for y'all.
Oh, yeah. We're trying to take off 2019. We ain't playing no games. We're not playing no games.
But, yo, but with that being said, yo, this is a very special episode for me right here, because these guys got a dope story right here, and I'm glad that, you know, Jimmy Blanco was the first one to tell a story from the desk of low, because remember, these guys are going to get their dues, but y'all heard it here first.
That, bro, so much.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.